Tonight, caught in a lie, a bizarre bombshell as old tapes emerge of Donald Trump, apparently posing as his own publicist, bragging about his business success and his relationships with famous women. Trump angrily denying it's him, even though he previously admitted it. Bathroom fight. The Obama administration sends a sweeping message to schools across the country. Let transgender kids use the bathroom of their choice or else. Alarming rise in murders in some big American cities. What the FBI director thinks might be behind it. Emergency room shocker. First a medical crisis, then a crisis from the bill. How to protect yourself from a painful surprise. And dream come true for a woman and her seven children, claiming a $430 million jackpot. And wait until you hear how she picked those winning numbers. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Thomas Roberts in tonight for Lester. In a campaign season at times full of bizarre twists and turns, tonight may be one of the strangest developments yet, centering on a 25-year-old audio tape. On it, a man claiming to represent Donald Trump, talking to a People magazine reporter, bragging about the billionaire's business dealings and dating life with famous women. But was it actually Trump himself? The Washington Post first released the audio, and this morning Trump emphatically denied it was his voice on the Today Show. But it turns out he's spoken about it before and given a very different answer. We get new details tonight from NBC News senior investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden.
Tonight, Donald Trump raising eyebrows again.
I don't think it was me. It doesn't sound like me.
The controversy not about something he said, but about something he claims he did not say.
Is it you?
No, I don't think it. I don't know anything about it. I have many, many people that are trying to imitate my voice, and you can imagine that. And this sounds like one of the scams, one of the many scams. It doesn't sound like me.
At issue, whether a man claiming to be Donald Trump's publicist was actually Donald Trump himself. The audio tape posted this morning by the Washington Post.
What's your name again?
John Miller.
What is your position?
Well, I'm going to be with PR because he gets so much of it.
It's absolutely Donald Trump.
No doubt in your mind.
There's no doubt in my mind.
The audio tape was recorded in 1991 by then People magazine reporter Sue Carswell. She says she called Mr. Trump initially to ask about his relationship with Marla Maples. Instead, she got Mr. Miller. Mr. Miller knew a lot about Mr. Trump's personal life.
He's living with Marla and he's got three other girlfriends.
Including French fashion model Carla Bruni, who would later become First Lady of France.
He dropped Mick Jagger for Donald, and that's where it is right now.
At the time, Carswell suspected John Miller was in fact Trump himself. And she says Marla Maples confirmed it.
I called Marla and played it for her and she just started to cry.
In fact, that's the story people published at the time. It's the same thing Carswell told Entertainment Tonight back then.
She started to cry. So she was absolutely devastated.
A few weeks later, Trump, she says, called her and apologized for pretending to be John Miller.
He told me that he was sorry that, you know, he had done this and it was at Marla's expense.
People published his apology for pretending to be Mr. Miller soon after. I'm very sorry, Donald Trump said. So, does the denial of a prank Donald Trump is alleged to have played long ago reveal anything important about Trump, the presidential candidate?
Why is this important?
Well, it's one thing to punk me about his love life, but to punk the nation is another thing.
We asked the Trump campaign if they would introduce us to Mr. Miller. No reply to that, though they did say once again, the voice heard on the recording was, quote, a bad imitation. No explanation why someone who sounded a lot like Donald Trump would call a reporter pretending to be someone named John Miller. Thomas?
It's a very good question. Cynthia, thanks so much. Pushback is coming fast and furious tonight against the Obama administration's historic new directive to the nation's public schools. It is a sweeping policy change to accommodate transgender students, which would allow kids to use the bathroom and facilities of the gender they identify with. The guidance is not legally binding, but could lead to a cut in federal funding to districts that don't comply. More now from NBC's Kate Snow.
For kids like Jacob LeMay, the guidance that students should use the bathroom of their gender identity isn't just some abstract policy. His mom, Mimi, says it's protection for him at school and validation that his rights matter.
When I send Jacob off to school, I want to make sure that he's treated the same way as any other student, that he can use the facilities that he's comfortable with. This means a lot to us.
We first met Jacob a year ago, just after he transitioned to living as a boy at 4 years old.
I wanted to be a boy.
You wanted to be a boy? Did you feel that on the inside? Did you feel inside like you wanted to be a boy?
Yeah.
Yeah? What did you say to your mom and dad?
I want to be a boy.
In Jacob's home state of Massachusetts, the state legislature just yesterday passed a bill banning discrimination against transgender people. But in other states across the country today, there was backlash against the federal government. Arkansas, Mississippi, and Texas telling schools to disregard the guidance.
Well, in Texas, he can keep his 30 pieces of silver. We will not yield to blackmail.
And outside Chicago, 51 families are suing a school district for allowing a transgender student to use the girls' bathroom.
These parents and students feel intimidated by their school districts.
The White House says the new directives were issued after a growing number of school districts asked for guidance. But advocates for LGBT rights say what happened today goes far beyond bathrooms.
It was just last June that we won marriage equality at the Supreme Court. This week is another part of that long march toward equality.
For Jacob, who's now six, it could be a turning point that shapes how he's treated for the rest of his life. Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
Now to new developments in the worsening situation at the nation's airports, as we've been covering, with TSA security lines stretching for hours in certain cases and passengers missing their flights. Today, citing the economic impact, the U.S. Travel Association called the situation a national crisis. And the TSA announced an action plan, but it may not go far enough, fast enough. With more, NBC's Tom Costello.
Okay, here's the start. Let's see how long this thing is.
The cell phone video from Midway Airport says it all.
Here's the security line.
A security line stretching for hours.
Well, guess what? It's just getting started.
We'll move Midway aside as similar scenes play out across the country. Adding insult to injury, this 3,000 bags at Phoenix missed their flights Thursday because of a TSA computer glitch involving explosive screeners. And today, confirmation that some TSA security officers have been assigned to security for the presidential candidates. Still, the Homeland Security Secretary today promised change.
We will not compromise the security of aviation or the American people.
The new action plan includes reducing the size and number of allowable carry-ons that choke checkpoints, using airline employees to handle some TSA jobs like moving bins, and authorizing more overtime. But among travelers, aggravation is mounting, with many posting their frustrations and photos on Twitter. The hashtag #IHateTheWait, created by the airlines to pressure the TSA, from Pittsburgh to Atlanta, JFK, even Portland, Oregon. In Detroit, the tweet was simple: North Terminal gridlocked. I hate the wait. Making matters worse, the TSA continues to confiscate a record number of weapons at the checkpoints. Loaded guns, ammunition, even a smoke grenade.
This is still just the beginning here.
Back to Midway and fast forward to the end of the line near the parking garage.
Are you kidding me, TSA?
And the summer travel season hasn't even started. Some members of Congress want the airlines to drop their baggage fees to encourage more passengers to check bags. But the airlines say that's misguided, since most customers have special deals and don't pay the baggage fees. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
Alarming new numbers out today show a dramatic rise in murders in more than 20 major cities across the country. The FBI director says he's not sure what's behind the increase, but is worried about the so-called viral video effect, officers being less aggressive for fear of being caught on camera. Our national correspondent, Miguel Almaguer, has the details.
In Chicago, where 141 people were murdered in just 3 months, the murder rate is soaring. But today, a new report raising alarms nationwide. In more than 20 cities, from Los Angeles to Dallas to Jacksonville, the murder rate spiked. Most of the victims, Black and Latino. FBI Director James Comey says something is happening but doesn't know what it is, and worries a viral video effect. Like this alleged beating in San Francisco, when police are caught on tape, may make officers less aggressive for fear of ending up on video.
Officers realize that anything that they do within instant, within seconds, is broadcast worldwide, and they're going to be held accountable. Would that have a chilling effect on officers? You betcha.
While the murder rate has dropped in some major cities, it's videos like the death of Laquan McDonald in Chicago that the FBI director fears are making officers reluctant to get out of their squad car and engage people in the streets. But the White House is firing back.
There still is no evidence to substantiate the claim that the increase in violent crime is related to an unwillingness of police officers to do their job.
Tonight, debate over why the murder rate is on the rise, while in some of the country's biggest cities, the streets are no longer as safe as they used to be. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
An enormous outpouring of emotion today in Southern California for a fallen hero. Huge crowds lined the streets for the funeral procession of Navy SEAL Charles Keating IV. Keating was killed in a firefight with ISIS in Iraq last week. He was posthumously awarded the Silver Star and the Purple Heart. An intense manhunt is now over, coming to an end in New Hampshire, where two police officers were shot. Police helicopters and search dogs fanned out in pursuit, and late today, officials revealing they did catch the suspect. NBC's Joe Fryer is in Manchester with details.
The gunman who opened fire, wounding two police officers and sparking a manhunt across New Hampshire's largest city, is now behind bars, officials say.
While this remains an active investigation, there is no danger to the public.
Police say it all happened around 2 a.m. when an officer approached Ian McPherson, who matched the description of an armed robbery suspect. Then the man opened fire. Even though Officer Ryan Hardy was shot in the face and torso, he called in a description.
Where are you?
Taking a bed. Been shot. White male, long hair, trench coat.
Officer Hardy's reaction to being shot is beyond courageous. It's remarkable.
20 minutes later, at another location about a mile away, Officer Matthew O'Connor was shot in the leg. All the gunfire alarmed neighbors.
We heard 6 gunshots out our window, and then we heard 3 more gunshots.
Schools canceled classes and neighbors took shelter as police searched for the gunman.
It's a little chaotic, you know. Mostly my worry is for my children because my windows are on the first floor.
Within 3 hours of the shooting, McPherson was finally arrested. As for the officers, both of them will survive, and tonight one is already out of the hospital. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Now to a mystery solved in New Jersey. The winners of one of the biggest Powerball jackpots in history have come forward, and it turns out this jackpot is all in the family. A woman and her 7 children splitting those winnings. Here's Rahima Ellis with more.
Divine intervention gave us the numbers.
The winning numbers came to a member of the Smith family in a dream. After 70-year-old Pearlie Smith played the numbers at her local 7-Eleven in Trenton, New Jersey, that dream came true.
It was a big shock when we first learned that we were Powerball winners. It was a bigger shock when we learned that we were the only ticket holder.
The prize, $429 million, to be shared by Pearlie and her 7 adult children.
They've been calling or texting me every day saying, is this real? Is it real?
The Lucky 8 will split the 6th largest Powerball lottery jackpot ever by choosing the one-time lump sum worth $284 million. Each family member will take home more than $25 million after taxes. And what have they told their friends and employers?
Are we live? So they're finding out right now.
Valerie, the oldest daughter, retired from her job as a prison administrator a year ago. She does have loans to pay off.
How big was your student loan?
Oh, I'm getting the doctorates on Friday.
Their brother, Stephen, is determined to be practical.
I have a family. I'm doing planning for my family.
To help them make the most of their winnings, they say they've already hired some help. 2 attorneys, an accountant, and a money manager.
I guess y'all are you thinking you wish you was me right now, right?
A winning family who say money won't change them. It will only make life better. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, Lawrenceville, New Jersey.
A lucky 8 indeed. Still ahead tonight, how one family ended up with a bill for $100,000 for a trip to the emergency room. What to look out for so you don't get ambushed with bills you thought insurance would cover. Also, the 96-year-old veteran who made history with an achievement nearly seven decades in the making. We are back with more on the shock in store for so many Americans from surprise medical bills. When emergency strikes, there's often no time to sort out what insurance will or won't cover. NBC's Olivia Stearns talks to a family that found out the hard way and has what you need to know to protect yourself.
When Sienna DeAndrea was just 2 months old, she needed emergency heart surgery. Fortunately, it was a success. But then came another shock, the bills.
I mean, we couldn't afford. We knew that there was months and months of bills still coming. Yeah.
In total, more than $100,000 worth, many a complete surprise.
We had to pay for hospital bed and for this doctor who looked over this, and I mean, it ran the gamut.
Did you worry you might have to go bankrupt?
Of course.
The family had insurance, but was told it didn't cover everything in the ER. And they had to pay for hospital supplies, assistant surgeons, even x-ray technicians.
I think it's just deeply unfair to consumers. And this becomes really problematic in an emergency situation.
It's an all too common problem. In Texas, for example, more than 20% of hospitals considered in-network by the top three insurers had no in-network ER doctors on staff.
Hospitals just have to function differently. I think ultimately they should be responsible for making sure everybody's on the same insurance and that customers get one simple bill.
Who's to blame? The hospital industry says it's up to insurers to make sure they cover enough doctors and clearly communicate who they are. The insurance industry points the finger at doctors who don't accept enough plans.
Quite honestly, it's better if the providers and the insurance company take it outside in the hallway and work it out without us in the middle.
That's now the law in New York and Florida, and more than 20 other states are considering similar legislation. Luckily for Raquel, her mom stepped in, quitting her job to negotiate the bills, in the end paying just $10,000. As for Sienna, she's now a thriving three-year-old. Olivia Stearns, NBC News.
We are back in a moment with the feds giving you another big reason to be very careful about what you post online. It has taken years, but now it's official government policy to include social media when conducting security clearance checks. It might shock you to know there was no directive to check public posts on Facebook, Twitter, or other forums before the policy was signed today. Critics say it's about time the government caught up with technology. Think about this for a moment. It's estimated there are about 7.4 billion people on Earth. And as of today, it's believed there's only one person left who was born in the 1800s. The death of 116-year-old American Susanna Mouchat Jones leaves only Italy's Emma Murano, born in the 19th century on November 29, 1899. She still lives on her own, credits her longevity to a daily glass of brandy. And speaking of longevity, a 96-year-old World War II vet just made history, becoming the oldest graduate at the University of Southern California. Alfonso Gonzalez thought he'd graduated in 1953. But when his family tried to get a copy of his diploma, he was shocked to find he was just one credit short. So USC tailored a course for him to get that last requirement, and now has that diploma. When we come back, moms on a mission, they found joy after tragedy. Now they're helping children do the same. Finally tonight, a touching story about learning to smile again after suffering a loss. A group of moms banding together to help children through tragedy because they understand exactly what these kids are going through. NBC's Kevin Tibbles has more in our series, Inspiring America.
Smiles and joy. Something you wouldn't expect to see from those who share the pain of losing a loved one. Each year, some 30 children and teens are lost to gun violence in Miami.
We just received a call saying that she was shot.
They all leave someone who loved them behind.
I felt like someone just had snatched my heart out of my body. Are you a beautiful princess?
They call it Restore Joy and Trust, founded by mothers who share the loss of a child to gun violence, like Denise Brown.
Instead of being angry and allowing that to fester, fill yourself with compassion and joy.
Their mission? Jumpstart the healing for kids who've lost someone. With after-school programs, learning to shed the fear.
How about an orange one?
There are field trips, places they've never been before, opening up a world of possibility. 11-year-old Ania Fords now wants to be a dancer.
I feel free whenever I'm dancing. It makes me feel like everything's okay.
It's priceless. You know, that joy, that's what we try to do. It's just to build them up. You don't have to continue that cycle.
Sharon Ladson sees the positive change in her granddaughter.
She's smiling again. She's more bubbly now.
It's healing for me. I don't concentrate so much on my pain. There's hope. You can rebuild your trust.
Coming together, laughing together, healing together. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Miami.
And if you have a story about an organization or a community that's inspiring America through their work, tell us about it on our Facebook page. That's going to do it for us on this Friday night. Be sure to watch our new special series On Assignment, including Richard Engel's exclusive reporting on Americans fighting with ISIS, Sunday night on NBC. I'm Thomas Roberts. For all of us here at NBC News, thank you for watching. Have a great night.